ice cream with bottled milk. There used to be a lot of small creameries around. There's one down in Mount Upton, New York, here, down in Lower, in Chenango County. I think they bottled down there. And then here and there around, I couldn't tell you specifically right now, there used to be cheese factories, so on and so forth. I do know when we did the canned milk, that used to go to Cherry Valley, Borden's plant in Cherry Valley. We were still paid by Dairy Lee, but it went to Borden's plant in Cherry Valley, and then it went by rail car down to New York City, out of Cherry Valley, back when I was a kid.
I had no idea. That's very interesting.
But the one thing about the milk, though, going to a cooperative like that, it's hard to say just where it went because there's different creameries around that did different things, cheese, bottled milk, and etc. And if one was short of milk for a particular week or particular day or something like that, maybe your load would go there. Maybe your load would go to a bottling plant. You didn't know just where it did end up. I know a lot of it went down to New York City, down to Woodside down there. They bottled down there, Woodside. And, it just went everywhere.
That was really interesting about the creameries. Are there still creameries in the area, or what happened to them?
No, they're pretty much all closed down, all of them, as far as I know. You're ending up with places like Chobani in West Ed, takes a lot of milk. And I think Fage or something like that, I think they got a place up in Johnstown for yogurt up there. I think they bottle milk in Syracuse. There's a big bottling place up there. Of course, you've got Stewart's out your way, across the river there. And they bottled, I don't know what else, bottled ice cream and like that. But they're getting so far apart now, it's hard to keep track of. Well, you never really knew anyway, but it's hard to keep track of just who does what, where they do it, and so on and so forth, and like that. And you got your Cumberland Farms, too. They got bottled milk, the whole gamut, too, and like that. Years ago, you didn't see those little outfits like that. Or I mean, there were little outfits, but you didn't see little independents with their brand so much. There might have been a few, but I can't recall just what it was. Something like that. Hood used to be big years and years ago. Used to be some Hood plant. Most of that comes from Boston there now, I think. Out in that territory somewhere. In Mass.
About what time did you notice this switch from like the small independent creameries and yogurt producing plants switch to the more kind of bigger, I guess, bigger areas of production, like you said, Dole and Stewart's?
I'm going to say maybe 20, 25 years ago, probably started. Like that, because some of them have been around quite a little while now, looking back on it. But up until we're in 2015. I'd say maybe late 70s, I think. When you're working all that, you don't pay much attention to what's going on unless you want to go particularly pick up something or something like that. But these places begin bopping up. Well, look at your mini-marts, your gas places like that, when they all start springing up like that. Probably back when you were a young fellow, it started showing up and like that. So you're getting back 20, 25 years ago, maybe 30, and then gradually from then on, you start seeing all these Red Apple and Quick Ways and you name it. Gamma.
I also, in my email to Gwen, I was just doing a little bit of background research. She mentioned that you are currently on the town board for Springfield.
Yeah.
Could you tell me a little bit about that, like your roles, your responsibilities, things of that nature?
Well, as far as being on the town board, I've been on there 30 years, and hopefully just two more years left. But you oversee the budget, and you oversee the highway department when they need new machinery and so on and so forth, and you find money to buy that stuff, and it's basically you're running the town is what you're doing. And specifically just for town purposes and like that. you have land issues that come up, you have to decide on whether you want to pass some land use laws and so on and so forth. And it's just like, it's basically just you're running a business, so you're running it for the town. There's five of us on the town board, and everybody's got their own ideas and own views, and we come together down the road and come up with decisions for things. But land use and seeing the budget, and the finances are run properly, and the overall just plain running of the town is basically what you do, something like that.
Now, I noticed you said that you've been on the town for 30 years, and you said you've only got two left, thankfully.
Four-year term,
okay.
Yeah.
So why thankfully?
Well, it's time for a change. Changing what we call it out here in the country, changing to the guard, and like that. Yeah, it's 4-year terms. I've had 8 four-year terms. And that's enough. Somebody else gets some new ideas in there and so on and so forth and like that.
So being on the town board, you've been in a position to kind of oversee the town of Springfield over the past 30 years. Could you talk maybe about some of the really big changes that you've seen, or some of the trends of change you've seen in your time on the governmental level?
Well, one of the biggest trends there now is land use. Everybody wants to be regulated and so on and so forth, but not. And then when a new project is brought up or something like that, you go back to the same old scenario of not in my backyard. And land use laws around the lake. See, we got our town here. We got quite a chunk of the lake is in the town of Springfield, all the way down to the old Hickory Grove down there, or Hickory Grove Motel. You know where that is? There. Yeah, we go way down there on that side. State Park's the limit on this side. Actually, the State Park was in the town of Springfield. And like the town of Middlefield and town of Springfield line is right in the State Park. And like that. And then we're that whole mountain over there is on the town of Springfield. And then you go this way and like that. But yeah, land use laws is about the biggest thing and like that. One of the bigger achievements we did years ago that it was worked out real well when Cherry Valley and Springfield School District merged, we had an opportunity to buy the old grade school in Springfield Center. It was bought as a municipal building, but they call it the community center, but it's actually a municipal building. And that served the town quite well.
Could you maybe go in a little bit more detail about how it served the town? What its purpose was, the municipal building?
Well, it's for the town people and town organizations to use, like that. The opera does rent in the summertime for about 6 weeks for rehearsals. There's a library in there. Our town historical place is in there. And both of them are not town entities, but they use the building. The Boy Scouts use the building. Other than the town meetings and supervisor's office, assessor's office is in there. And the bottom line is the availability if an organization town wants to use it, but for their use. But we rent the playground too for a short time in fall, but Hornsville School comes up for their soccer, because their field isn't big enough down there. And they play soccer, and they have some soccer games over there. There doesn't seem to be any Little League anymore. There was for a few years. Little League played out there in the summertime like that, Springfield Little League, but haven't heard too much about that. But basically, it's the availability to the town for town organizations to use and so on and so forth like that. It cannot be, as a municipal building, it cannot be rent it out to anybody that has a business in there for a profit. That's one of the stipulations of the municipal building. Because I guess they consider exploiting taxpayers' money. Because see, the taxpayers are the ones who bought that building. another biggest change probably is with the highway department, the change of the size of the equipment you have to buy nowadays and so on and so forth. We're buying a new dump truck with a snowplow on it, about $225,000, 10-wheeler. And the basic truck is about 145 to 65, and then by the time you put a box on it and by the time you put the plow on it, you get up there. Like that. And thankfully, so far, we've been able to finance things, plan ahead to finance things without bonding anything. So our town is all pretty much status quo. Well, it is status quo as far as the budget goes and what we expend and what we take in. We haven't borrowed anything the length of all the years I've been on. Like that.
Have you noticed any changes in the political landscape of Springfield, or how people lean politically in your time on the board? Or has it been fairly consistent?
No, it's changed to quite an extent. You got the lake. You got people that are totally interested in the lake. They don't realize there's another part of town, and there's another part of town that doesn't realize the views of the lake people. And not in my backyard has gotten to be a big thing. You know, everybody wants something, but don't put it near me. And, well, it's a universal, I think, all over the place as far as that goes. But there are divisions between the lake and the town and so on and so forth. Not arguable divisions, but there are feelings for themselves and so on and so forth and like that. And bottom line is nobody wants to pay more taxes. So far, we've been able to hold the line pretty good and like that. But, yeah.
What are some of the issues that the people that are interested in the lake are concerned about?
Being able to put an addition on whenever they feel like putting an addition on. Sewage is a problem. Some of the buildings basically are built for what they're built for now, and the sewage and so on so forth takes care of that thing, but they want to put an addition on. And maybe another bedroom or so, and all that stuff is pretty much regulated by how many bedrooms you got in a place, and it just creates kind of a chain reaction sort of thing. You know, I want to do this, but I'm going to have to do this, this, and this in order to get this done, and it creates a lot of feelings, and so on and so forth that way, like that.
You said previously that you've done a good job kind of holding the line, so to say, between the land people and the lake people. Could you talk maybe a little bit about how you've managed to keep the peace, quote unquote?
By having a planning board. And we got site plan review, and we got subdivision laws. And everybody in town has to follow them so that nobody can get way out. They all got ideas that, as far as interpretation goes, of what maybe a law might be or so on and so forth, but what we got is in writing, and that's what it goes by. But basically, the plan board. That's up to the planning board.
Could you tell me something that you feel personally is an important issue in either the town of Springfield, the area, even nationally, but it's an important issue in this community that isn't being addressed, but you think should be being addressed?
Well, that's kind of a tough one. Being rural like we are, for the most part, it's been brought to light about maybe we should have some solar farms and maybe we should have some windmills. And why can't we tap into the natural gas line that goes through town and things like that? There are things that come to light every once in a while, but when it comes to practicality, the lay of the land like that really doesn't justify it. That's about it in a nutshell, I think, because we are what we are. And there's no rail, there's no water. You got Route 20. I mean, water as far as navigable water. And we are what we are. Mostly, Springfield's pretty much a, I hate to say it, it's pretty much a retirement town. Because a lot of retired people live in the villages. East Springfield and Springfield Center and down along the lake and like that. As far as the farmland goes and like that, you got your farmers and there again, there's land been sold to build houses on and so forth, somebody to retire on and so forth. They're mostly happy just to be quiet the way we are.
That was interesting to hear. How you? It's mostly a retirement town. You were saying has it always been like that, or when did you notice this start? Rather, let me rephrase that.
40 years ago.
40 years ago.
At least that. When you started seeing the 50, 60 years ago, when you started seeing the small businesses go, all the little gas stations and things like that, that would probably be a noticeable difference. And maybe the thruway might have had an effect on it. But there again. There was an awful lot of work locally years ago, but then that disappeared. Small farms went, whereby they might hire somebody seasonally or so on and so forth and this and that. And it was a place for people to work maybe after their day job or on weekends and like that. I'd have to say years ago, back when about most all the small businesses started disappearing, most generally everybody hired somebody. I had an extra person here on the farm, as far as that goes, that helped me during daytime and like that. And then after things like that, and the small farms and then the businesses started disappearing, the younger ones dispersed more because they had to have a full-time job and like that. And then as they dispersed, a lot of them never come back. And with the opera and the lake, and you got the museums and things in Cooperstown, and then you got other things in the area to tend to. You've got a park here and so on and so forth, that it became an ideal place for people, like a lot of people from out of the city, from New Jersey and so on, to come up and buy a place to retire and like that. Matter of fact, some of the small farms were bought up by those sort of people. They might have a donkey or a horse or something like that and rent the land out to other farmers, but they got their own little retirement place.
Sure.
And like that.
So just to clarify, this kind of all happened around the same time? The small businesses started to go away and the people started to come in more?
Yeah, they graduated. Well, those people got older too. It's just like the farms. People don't live forever. They either pass on and not have anybody leave the farm to. If they get older and want to retire, they've already lived there all their life, and if they sell it, they got to go find something somewhere else to live in, and which creates kind of a catch-22 situation. A lot of the small businesses there years ago, they were all run by older people, and they were too small to really sell to somebody that wanted a little bigger business, because they're on most generally on a little piece of land, and those people passed on. There's two or three places up to East Springfield. There's one of them is a apartment building there now, right on the corner, but across from KC's. That used to be a service station. There used to be an ice cream place. And down two places, there's two other places going west on 20 on the left-hand side. There's two service stations there, and both those places are homes for people now, something like that. And that's just the way things went. Bottom line is, we all get older, and there's not any interest to replace what was there, and like or else feasible, it just isn't feasible to do it. Like that, yeah. So, thusly, the Stewarts, the Quickways, the Red Apples, like that. That's kind of the way it went.
Now, this is kind of going back to the beginning of our interview. I'm sorry, and you were telling me about how Benjamin Rathbun's been here at least since the 1780s. How has your family's long history in the area affected your life?
I don't know if it's ever affected it very much, other than historically. People are always interested to, you know, how long you had the farm, and basically some of the typical questions like you asked me about farm life and where your father grew up and so on and so forth and this and that. But town of Springfield's got a lot of history behind it. Met a lot of different people and so on and so forth. So just another day. About the only way I can explain it. I'm sure my ancestors did their thing. My father did his thing. I did my thing. My kids are doing their thing. My grandchildren probably they'll do their thing. Well, I know one of them is. He's carpentering like that. But yeah, as far as historically affecting me, generations come and go.
And again, going back to the beginning, how we were talking about tenement farming. Do you maintain any connection to the Clarks? I mean, I know this is going way back, but just in the off chance, do you know?
No, I know Mary and Tommy Clark. Tommy passed this past year. He was one of the descendants of the Clark family, like that. Other than neighbors, yeah, no, friendship and neighbors.
Well, Richard, I thank you for your time. Is there anything that I haven't discussed that you would like to talk about, or that we haven't discussed that you feel like you'd like to talk about?
Not that I can think of right now. Probably when you walk out the door, I will, but not right now. Like that.
Oh, great. Well,
I think we covered pretty much what you wanted to know, and so on and so forth. And I don't know of anything other than that I can add to it. But, yeah.
Well, thank you. Really, this will be a great addition to CGP Community Stories, and I really appreciate your time and taking the time to do this with me.
It was. You can have Gwen audit it.
Yeah. But thank you so much, Richard. It's been a pleasure. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you for asking.